Welcome, everyone. This is Russ Calzo, Chronicles of the End Times. I hope you're doing well today and prospering in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to talk about several different things. There's so much going on in the world, it's hard to keep up with it. When I first started teaching on the last days and Bible prophecy, it was probably 40 years ago. There was a lot going on then, but you had to dig in and search for some of the signs that were being fulfilled. Now, obviously, the news is doing all that for us. Prophecy is being fulfilled at every turn. Today, we're going to look to the book of Amos. And the book of Amos is an interesting read. The name Amos means burden or burden bearer. And Amos was just a shepherd, but God called him out. He didn't consider himself a prophet. He didn't consider himself anything special, but that's the kind of people God chooses. And he prophesied against Israel during the time of great wealth and riches in the northern kingdom. These words that Amos speaks are not just for Israel, but they're for us today, for the church. Because much grace and much love and much forgiveness and knowledge and opportunity has been given to the church. And we must take advantage of that. And if we don't, there will be a price to pay. I know we don't like to think about it, and it's not a popular item for discussion, but the life of a Christian is not a free ride. Much grace is given to us. New life is given to us. We're adopted by God Almighty. We have great things that God has prepared and gifts that he's going to continue to give to us and bless us with right through eternity. But here on earth, the ride is not free. We are to stand up and we are to testify to the love of God and to the word of God that people might know the love of God and repent and turn from their sins and be saved. I'm going to read from Amos chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 8. Hear this word the Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel. Against the whole family I brought out of Egypt. You only have I chosen of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for your sins. Do two walk together unless they agree to do so? Does a lion roar in a thicket when he has no prey? Does he growl in the den when he has caught nothing? Does a bird fall into a trap on the ground where there is no snare? Does a trap spring from the earth when there is nothing to catch? When a trumpet sounds in a city, do not the people tremble? When disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants and his prophets. The lion has roared. Who will fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Pretty amazing scripture talking about God's warning and the signs that God was giving Israel at that time. So what is God saying here? He's saying these things are happening to you. I've given you lots of signs and warnings, and even the evil that has come, I have caused. We need to understand as Bible-believing Christians that God is the God of blessing and calamity. He says that in his word. Everything that happens comes through God, and I know that's hard for us to understand. How can this God of love and mercy, how can this be? But we must understand that God is the God of heaven and hell and everything that is in between. Nothing happens unless he allows it to happen. And these are some of the hard things we need to understand when we're dealing with the Almighty. God has so many facets to him that we can't even comprehend it. So what does he mean? Do two walk together unless they've agreed to do so? What's he saying? He's saying you have married up with evil. You have married up with the teachings of demons. So therefore, you must have agreed to walk together. He's telling them, look, the lion has roared, but you're not moving. You don't have any fear. The trumpet has sounded. There's an invasion coming, but the people don't tremble. And then he says, the Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? How can we keep our mouths closed when God has spoken so clearly in the day in which we live? He wants his church to pick up their cross and follow him. And that doesn't mean he wants us to be suffering and crying out in misery. No, it's an association. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Pick up your cross. Identify with me. And then let's walk together. Let people know who I am that they might know me. There's amazing testimony that you really need to look up and watch on YouTube. CBN does the interview with Marzi Amirizadeh, an Iranian woman who had tremendous visions of Jesus Christ and revelations of those in the government, those in control, the Islamic Republic, and exactly who they are spiritually. Just absolutely amazing what God showed her. And from that, she became a Christian, dedicated her entire life, this young woman and her friend who came to Christ as well in a different way. They got together and they actually distributed 3,000 Bibles in Tehran. Just crazy. Sharing their testimony, bold. It reminds you of Peter and John and all that happened in the book of Acts. I can't do it justice. I'm not even going to try, but I will tell you that she was eventually cast in the prison. She was there for months. God did mighty, incredible things. She was sentenced to be executed. It is just one amazing story. And now she's out and about. She's got books out. She's evangelizing to everyone who will stop and talk to her. She has picked up her cross and followed Jesus Christ. She was not afraid. And I tell you what, it put me to shame listening to her. I have to be truly honest. I say, God, what am I doing? Am I not doing what I can do? Am I not being all that I can be to tell people who you are and how great you are? Just an absolute amazing testimony. So if you get a chance, check it out. It's on CBN. On YouTube, you'll find it encouraging and convicting at the same time. But wow, it is just something you must see. She testifies to the fact that how God is moving in Iran among the average people. Groups are forming in homes and in places, hiding from the government, sharing about Jesus Christ, sharing with each other their witness and what God has done. And God is moving. That's another thing God is doing. God's doing so many different things, you can't even keep up with them. Now we're going to drop back into Amos in chapter 1. And here Amos is prophesying against all the nations around Israel. So Amos is doing two things. God has given him two tasks. He has given a word to Israel, the people that God has redeemed. And we can relate to that. And that's what we read in the beginning. He is warning them and pleading with them to turn back to him or judgment is coming. But he's also talking to the Gentiles. Verse 5 testifies to what's happening right now. He says, for three sins of Gaza, even for four, I will not turn back my wrath, because she took captive whole communities and sold them to Edom. I will send fire upon the walls of Gaza. They will consume her fortresses. From there, he goes on to proclaim what's going to happen to the other enemies of Israel. Of course, everyone who is against Israel is claiming that they have taken that land, Israel shouldn't exist, and that is the belief of the Islamic Republic. They also believe by bringing war to Israel and bringing war to that whole area and the world will bring about their Messiah. That's what they believe. So they believe they're doing the work of God when they're really doing the work of the enemy. Let's move to the last verse of chapter 9 in Amos. The Lord said, I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. No matter what is said, what is debated, God gave that land to Israel, and he's the one who moves the nations around. In that same chapter, in verse 7, he says, did I not bring Israel up from Egypt, the Philistines from Kaphtor, and the Armenians from Kir? When he declares the Philistines came from Kaphtor, that's Crete, that's Greece. So God's the one who moves the nations around. And his word is that I have given Israel this land, and they will not be moved out of it. Now I'd like to add one more thing concerning Iran and the visions that Marzi Amirizadeh had. She testifies to the fact that the books that are given to children in school in Iran and also in Gaza and those handed out by Hezbollah and by Hamas and the Houthis, and you could go on and on and on. Books are given to little children that teach them to hate the Jews and how the Jews must be killed and Israel must be annihilated. And if you've been keeping up with this UN situation, then you know that some of those were involved in the October 7th massacre. Hundreds of millions of dollars have gone to what they say was education and health care, but has also been used to buy those same books I was just mentioning to propagate hate. Satan is on the move. He has his people that are dedicated to him, people that are destined to be destroyed. But God is in control, and he is moving. It's no secret. Satan has his people, but the Lord God Almighty is raising up an army of those who will hear the word of God and obey it. God is the king of multitasking. He is doing so many different things in the world. He's reaching out to those in countries where it is against the law to talk about Jesus for the penalty of death. He is pouring out his spirit and his grace, and on the other side, he is crying out that judgment is coming. He's working with Israel, every individual God has his hand on. It is impossible for us to comprehend all that God is doing. He is the king of multitasking. That's an understatement for sure. He is working all over the world, and yet he's working on the church in the free world. And saying, wake up, stop thinking about your comfort. And he's reaching out to the unsaved, and he's warning them, judgment is coming. We're living in the most incredible time of history. We're living at the end of time. And as we started out in the scripture, the Lord's saying, the trumpet is sounding, but no one is fearful. The lion is roaring, but no one's paying attention. And he says, how can we not prophesy? Revelation says that Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. So you can be sharing your testimony with somebody, and it's like prophesying. You're sharing what God did to you and how he changed you. You could argue about scriptures with people and all this religious nonsense, but when it comes down to it, you are blind, and now you see. That is what's going to change the world. It's not our theology. It's our personal relationship with Jesus Christ and what he did for you and me. So as we race towards Armageddon, as we race towards the coming of Jesus Christ, what's the most important thing? It's the mission. We must recognize the signs so we can remind people that time is running out, but our mission remains the same. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Those doors will close one day. So let's keep working in the vineyard, and God will take care of us. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and I'll add everything to you, whatever you need. You won't be in need. I will take care of your needs. And those that are running around still talking about prosperity, watch out for those prophets. The battle is real. God is capable of doing many different things at the same time. He can bless you. He can enable you to do whatever God's laid his hand on you to do. If it's forgiving, then God will bless you because he knows you're going to give and you're going to give abundantly. If God has given you a word, then speak the word. Each one of us has a testimony. Share that. If you don't have a certain gift, ask the Holy Spirit to give it to you. We need to knock and the door will open. We need to ask and it will be given. We need to seek in order to find. God does want to bless us, but it has to be within his will, and we need to pick up our cross and follow him. God bless. This is Russ Galzo for Chronicles of the End Times. May the Lord bless you as you work in the vineyard and bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Keep looking up. The King is coming.